Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
To you. Mike McNamara in for a, what is it, Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah. Hope you're having a nice one, wherever you are. I'm debating on whether I should watch the debates tonight. I don't really feel the need to, right? So, I mean, if you're a liberal, do you have a choice of who you're going to vote for? So, is it kind of a NASCAR event, right? You're watching just to see the train wreck? Same thing if you're a conservative, right? If you're a conservative, do you have a vote? Do you have a choice of who you vote for? I mean, would you really vote for Joe Biden? The answer to that. The answer to both those questions is no, right? So you will watch in order to do what? In order to see if there's a train wreck, yeah? If there's a crash? So anyhow, I have yet to make up my mind whether I will. I mean, just the... Here's what I found relative to media consumption and my life. In my life, the Wall Street Journal has allowed me to tune out most of the garbage in my life, most of the garbage media. Okay, I don't have to pay attention to because. What do I care about what consuming media? One, the news, right? I think the Wall Street Journal is the most credible news reporting organization on the planet. Yeah, how about that? They can use that as an endorsement, everybody. Hello. And then beyond that, I think that the I like interesting content, and I believe on their opinion pages they do that. So I'm a fan of that. And so when I look at that, and it allows me to like shut off TVs and things like that, because I know I'm going to get, I know I'm going to get notified of any news. For instance, the elder. Former emir of Kuwait died this morning. Found out about that. So I know when news happens, I'll hear about it. So do I need the rest of the hysteria? The answer to that is no. So the Wall Street Journal, even though it's a little pricey, has brought peace and tranquility in our time. Right? So why would I watch the debates when there's baseball on all day? Eh? Yeah, how about that? Yeah, if you're a baseball fan, today is the day of days. And my own opinion is that baseball needs to find a way to do this. And I think they will going into the future. Now, Mac, I'm not really much of a baseball fan. What in God's name are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Today, let's see, the schedule for today, it looks like this. All the games in the American League start today. All the games in the National League start tomorrow. So there's four games today. They start at 11 o'clock Pacific time. The Twins and the Astros. You're going to get everybody's best pitcher pitches today. Twins versus the Astros. Then you're going to get the White Sox versus the A's. That comes on at noon. So an hour after the first game starts, the second game starts. And then the Blue Jays and the Rays play at 2 o'clock. And then the Yankees and the Indians play at 4. So game after game after game after game. Now, tomorrow, don't you know, tomorrow you will have 8 games. And then the following day, on Thursday, you will have 8 games. So it's 3 games in a row. All at the team with the better record, all in their stadium. But I mean, for Major League Baseball, there's 16 teams in the postseason, and the postseason is the king. That's what you know. That's why people will go to baseball games in August and September, because their team's got a chance. So you've essentially doubled the number of teams in the playoffs. That's not a bad thing. And it only costs you 3 days. So less regular season, more playoffs, that's a good thing. So anyway, I think that you will I think that you will see that. And so the accountants will have to work all that shit out. You're right, because that's how the world works. So would I not watch the Yankees so I could watch Donald Trump and Joe Biden, right? And some of the things I think are humorous, you know, Biden wants a break every 30 minutes. Why? Do you need a porta potty, right? Or do you need to be coached? And so I hate to be cynical, but honestly, I think that this is the moment, right, that Biden, the people that handled Joe Biden's campaign have cringed over, right? Donald Trump, you know, on his feet, you know, playing back and forth with people, you know, is you may hate his guts, but he's pretty good at it, and he does it all the time. Joe Biden, not so much back and forth, and hardly ever does it. And when he does do it, stuff comes out of his mouth that's pretty unbelievable. So that might be a reason to watch it right there. And then the other issue is that I thought was funny about the debate is electronic devices. So the question becomes, can you do this as a candidate on your own? Right? And I don't think the president has any issues with it, but you know, to me, it goes to the issue is like Joe Biden, train wreck, right? That guy has never done anything nationally in polls. The only reason he's there now is because the nation wouldn't support any of the lefties that were being run. And so that's why Joe Biden's there now. And nobody could unseat him, oddly enough. Crazy, right? The country not in, even the Democratic Party not going to go for Bernie Sanders, because you can't win the presidency without the heartland, and the heartland is not going to vote for Bernie Sanders. So anyhow, I'm a little bit up in the air whether I will watch any of it. I mean, I think that I will get it. I will go ahead and I just saw a headline that says stores are boarding up windows that are in proximity to the debate. Hey, what the fuck, man? I mean, what is going on in this country when, you know, every protest is now looting and smashing and shit? Thank you, Minneapolis. Oh, my God. Speaking of Minneapolis, if you have not watched it, I will post it. But who is that guy? James, whatever his name is, Project Veritas. Now, he's done some shady shit in the past. But I'll tell you what. Watch his latest little thing about ballot harvesting in Minneapolis. You know, and Ilhan Omar's little political machine that she's got going. And listen to the shit that they have people saying. You know, from a woman who says this is what they do. They come to the high-rises and they have you fill out a form and you sign it. And then you give them your social security number, you give them this, and it's like all third world power politics shit. We're going to railroad this democracy. And they pay for them. And it's, and so it's all interviews. It's all video interviews with people. And it's amazing. It's, I mean, it's stunning shit. I will put it in the, if you haven't seen it, I can't remember the guy's last name, James something. But you have to watch it. And this is the direction of mail-in voting and all the different organizations that have sounded the alarm. And I just leave the president's comments aside. What happens when you lose control of the voting in this country? And so mail-in voting application, I mean, as somebody who's been abroad for elections, you know, we used to request absentee ballots and we would mail those in knowing that they'd be counted after the election and most of them wouldn't matter. Okay. But now it's a different business. And so there are some that would, you know, when you give them an opening, they will go ahead and they will exploit that opening. And so it goes. And that's what's happening in Minneapolis. And so you have some people from the Somali community that are interviewed in it saying, yeah, this is what they do. And it's stunning. It's stunning. But the other thing I saw that I wanted to mention this morning was it's pretty amazing. You know, I mentioned yesterday that God help the family of Amy Coney Barrett. And why do you say that, Mac? Well, I say that because the beast that is going to be unleashed at her hearing, the way the Democratic Party does this, and it doesn't happen the other way. If you look at the confirmations of the liberal justices, you know, it's not burn it all down at all cost confirmations. They are overwhelmingly confirmed. Why does the ideology go one way, not the other way? I'm not sure about that. And so, you know, you have examples of hypocrisy in our country. And to me, what's stunning is they go on in broad daylight and everybody's okay with it. And one of the latest ones is now Amy Coney Barrett is a Catholic. That's evidently going to become an issue now. The Joe Biden's a Catholic. Is that an issue? And then I thought the president said, I thought we settled this when John Kennedy was a president. But oh no, this will come up again. And so I saw an opinion piece by William McGurn in the Journal. Amy Barrett and Joe Biden, two Catholics, one double standard. And so this shit goes on in front of the nation. And it's just amazing. Here's, I'll read you a little bit of what it says. For this election, Democrats have pulled out all the stops to let Americans know what a swell Catholic Joe Biden is. The party's larger message, both timely and welcome, is that it's okay to be a person of faith. The test is whether the same courtesy applies to Mr. Biden's fellow Catholic, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Even before President Trump formally nominated her for the Supreme Court on Saturday, the crazies started circulating. The faith community her family belongs to is a Christo-fascist cult. She and her husband are white colonizers for adopting two children from Haiti. Her Catholicism makes her, in the words of Bill Maher, a fucking nut, and so on. Which suggests the first question Mr. Biden should have to answer in Tuesday night's debate with Mr. Trump is whether the former vice president will unequivocally repudiate the attacks on Judge Barrett's faith and make clear that they have no home in his Democratic Party. But we all know that's not going to happen, right? And then he ends like this. You might think that Judge Barrett's extraordinary life as a distinguished law professor, as a highly regarded appellate judge, and as a woman who will become the first Supreme Court mom with school-aged children might occasion a rethink of prejudices against religious moms with large families. Or about Jesse Barrett, the very model of a husband who supports his wife in her chosen career. Instead, this accomplished professional is painted as a helpless female living in her own little Gilead. If the Democrats and their allies keep it up, these attacks will undo all the work Mr. Biden will undertake to persuade America, to persuade American voters his campaign is friendly to religion and committed to restoring decency in our civic life. In staging this year's convention, and especially in their celebration of their nominee's Catholicism, Democrats presented themselves as a party that honors Americans of faith. On Tuesday night, Joe Biden should be pressed on whether he'll insist that the same standard be applied to Judge Barrett. And we all know it won't, right? We all know it won't. Lest he anger, again, won't or can't, I don't know. He can't, you know, anger the militant faction of the Democratic Party. And again, all the crazies get enabled because there can't be compromise in our democracy. Once you can't compromise, you need those crazy votes to put things in order. And so you have to cater to them. So our system. So why are we doing that? Right? So we're doing that because our media caters to idiots. Right? I've said for years, that which you see on the news every day is the worst shit that happens in the country. It's the craziest video. So it's the craziest video clips so that you'll click on it, so that you'll add to their statistics so they can rationalize increased revenue. That's all that it's about. That's the money model. Okay? That's not the news that you need to know. And so all this stuff, the decency, all that, none of it matters. It all pales in comparison with getting to the crazies on the internet. And all that social media does, it inflames this. It puts it on steroids. It puts it in hyperspace. So, but again, it's stunning to watch when you see, you know, the hypocrisy that, you know, Joe Biden hasn't been called out for being a Catholic. Nobody's made an issue of it, but it will be an issue for her. Now, just before I came on the show, I saw Ari Fleischer, and I kind of like Ari Fleischer. Okay? To me, he's a level-headed kind of commentator. I like Trey Gowdy for the same reason. Trey Gowdy tells the truth. I think Ari Fleischer, even as reluctant as sometimes it is, you know, he tells the truth. He's a Republican. Both of them are. Ari Fleischer said this morning. He said, you know, the biggest challenge that the Democrats will have during Judge Barrett's confirmation is this. It will be in the weeks preceding the election. And they're going to have to convince Americans by what they do on TV that they are a party that's not hostile to religious people, that they are a party that respects everybody. And he said, and know this, that this fight is for votes in the center. He said, so there's not that much margin in there. He said, but probably their greatest problem is going to be the craziness that's going to go on in the streets of Washington, D.C. He said, if you remember Judge Kavanaugh, he said there wasn't the looting that has gone on since. But what's to stop the looting this time? And if that's the show that gets going in Washington, D.C., how does that impact the election? And I thought, whoa, didn't think of that. And so I think that's a pretty good point, right? So if you could possibly be undecided at this point, and you're not a lefty or a righty, you're kind of a middle person, and you're like, you don't like Donald Trump, but Joe Biden, come on. I mean, confused and old and got to have a potty break and, you know, so he can go get coached and told what not to do as a guy who's going to run the United States. So you're like, and even at this date, you're still on the fence. You see riots in the streets of D.C. being looted and burned and shit like that because of a woman justice who's a conservative. Who do you vote for? Does that have an impact on you? So it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know how we rid the country of social media. We desperately need to. I mean, somebody needs to, first of all, everybody turn off the comment section. Okay. Of anything you publish, turn off the comment section. The next thing is Twitter. How do we tweak Twitter? Facebook, you can only have, you know, limited to, you know, 100 friends. That's the people in your family and your friends. Maybe a couple hundred. All right. So, so we don't need everybody commenting on every. I'm not sure how you roll back social media, but we somehow need to enact the law for the preservation of good order and discipline on the planet. We somehow or other need to enact the law that does that. Because social media, it's just the worst. It is simply the worst thing going. I want to congratulate my daughter Colleen, who got hired yesterday by somebody. Yeah. And she's fired up about it. So we were talking before she went to the interview. I said, okay, let me let me ask you a question. Why is this guy interviewing you? And she just stares at me, right? I said, because he wants to hire you. That's why. I'm sure, look, I don't know how much business he's doing. And it's a clothing store, kind of a young person store. Sunglasses, clothing, you know, whatnot. So I said, so he wants to hire you. So when you go in there, you give him reasons to hire you. Okay, when he says tell me about yourself, you tell him about you. You tell him that you're a good student. You tell him the family you come from. My brothers are Marines. My dad was a Marine. Right? My mom's this. My sister's this. And you give him a sense of who you are. Okay? And don't worry about answering the bullshit questions that they ask. That's not what he's looking for. He's not keeping a total of right or wrong, yes or no. I said, you go in there and sell you. You've been a captain on most of the teams you've ever been on. You're part of, student, leadership at your high school. That's you. That's who you are. So you just talk about you. Right? And when you shake his hand, right? She said, I know. Our girls have bone crusher handshakes. When you shake their hand, yeah, they'll put you on your knees. And everybody's like, whoa, what's that about? Like, yeah, that's my calling card, bro. So, yeah, Fenton, that's one other thing you got to teach your girls. When you shake hands with somebody, let that fucker rip on them. Your calling card. Don't give them the fish. Don't give them the girly handshake. Grab their hand and squeeze it like you mean business. Yeah, that's me. That's why I'm here. So she comes home yesterday and she was all fired up. And I said, I told you. I told her a story about being interviewed. I said, I used to love to go to interviews. She's like, oh, really? I said, she's like, why does that not surprise me? You're so cocky. I said, I'm not cocky. I'm confident. Why am I confident? Confidence born of achievement. Cockiness is bullshit. When you're confident about what you can do, those are fun. Because you're going to go have a conversation with somebody. And you're going to decide just as much whether you want to work for that person as, they're going to decide whether they want you. And I said, I said, I wish I could remember the interview, but I can't. And the guy looks at me and says, if you could describe yourself to be an animal, what animal would you be? And I thought for a second, and I must have just watched The Lion King with my kids. And I said, I'd be Mufasa. Now, for those of you who don't know, he's an animated animal. And he starts laughing. I said, well, I've always been kind of a leader. And Mufasa is a leader. He's a good leader. He cares about his family. I care about my family. Takes care of other people. He's not afraid to fight. I'm not afraid to fight. And he's a good guy. And I think I'm a good guy. And he looked at me. He told me later. He goes, that was an awesome, answer. And I said... So I told Colleen, I said, just go be yourself. Don't try to rehearse for the interview, blah, blah, all that other bullshit. You just go sell you. Be confident. So she came back. She's like, it worked. I'm like, of course it did. He wants to hire you. He's looking for good people. And you show up and you're all that. So anyway, so congratulations to Colleen. She got another job. In a day and age where it's not easy to find jobs. So good on her. So let's see, we should probably start the program. What are we going to do today? Well, the commandant did an interview with Defense One, and I want to play that today. And I'll comment during, I'll do play by play during the interview. So this was just done on September 24th. So, So we'll go ahead and we will watch that. And we'll listen to it. So with all that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to, for the second time in a row, I don't know that I've ever done this, to Judge Barrett and her family. They're going to experience the worst that this nation has to offer. And she is an accomplished woman. They have a great little family. And I just think it's awful what we do to people in the name of politics in this country. And to the senators will participate in that, shame on you. Your parents would be embarrassed if they could watch you doing that shit to somebody who's worked their whole life to do what they believe is the right thing to do. You may have ideological differences from them, but that does not grant you the privilege to drag them through the fucking street in a partisan way. That's not what this process is supposed to be about. She's a woman who's already been confirmed once to be a federal judge. Not sure how the litmus test changes relative to her fitness to serve on the high court unless she's simply intellectually incompetent. That would be an interesting case to make for somebody so accomplished as she, and that's not the issue. And so to me, it's the worst the nation has to offer. And so to her family, all the best. All the best.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning. It's supposed to be hot here again. Supposed to be 91 today. What? How did this happen? It's October, man. Currently in Quantico, it's partly sunny and 75. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune, it is cloudy and 76. 29 Palms, sun and 79. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, partly sunny, 69. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 73. In Okinawa, dark cloudy, 77. Down under in Darwin, don't you know? It is clear, dark, and 80. Clear, dark, and 80. The high in Darwin today is going to be 91. 92 tomorrow, 93 on Thursday, 90 on Friday. 91 on Saturday on the northern coast of Australia. Yeah. 80 degrees in the middle of the night. That's warm. And still further to the west as we head that way. It is cloudy in 56. Oslo getting progressively cooler. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. It is foggy and 67 degrees. Looking for a high of 89 degrees today, according to the Weather Channel. 94 degrees tomorrow, 90 on Thursday, 87 on Friday, 86 on Saturday. So the air conditioning goes on. Yeah, went on last night. So, the doggy door gets shut. That's the way that shit works. The J.P. Morgan has agreed to pay $920 million to resolve market manipulation probes. It is the largest ever fine imposed for spoofing by the federal government. How about that? I got an email about suicide. Mac, why do you think the military is not able to deal with suicide very well? You've been dealing with it and them for a while. My own opinion is they have PhDs that run those programs, and they run those programs like PhDs, and those PhDs, a lot of them don't come from the culture, so that they say that they think they know, you know, young Marines and stuff, but I don't think they do. And I think that's what drives the gap. They create program and content that doesn't communicate with the end user. So, look at all this work, right? And nobody can say, hey, increased isolation will ultimately come back in the form of higher suicide rates. The I just don't think they get it. I think they see more clinicians, more civilian help as the answer. And I would tell you that I don't see that. I think that is more the same, and it's how we got the numbers that we currently have, and it's why we continue to have the rises that we have. I would tell you that my experience, and it's backed up by statistics, wherever the fuck I go, the same thing happens. Is that what's important is that leaders got to lead. And they've got to connect with people. And it's just like, you know, think about the best teacher or the best coach you ever had. If that person is a part of your life, if that person is a mentor to you, it's a life-changing experience, right? And then as opposed to going down the hall to see the school counselor about something, not so much. So I'm not down on I just, if you want my macro, you know, 40,000 foot view of it, the people that have brought you this system are the people that are giving you this 33% rise in the Air Force's suicide last year. And don't understand it. They're the people that are, that overall DOD wide estimated, well, the Army's estimated at 30% increase this year. And we haven't got to the holidays yet, boys and girls. And then the DOD wide up 20%. Those PhDs that have created this system, they're the ones that are giving you these numbers. But the other part of the problem is you have general officers that are not gonna say, yeah, I'm not gonna do that anymore. Because if they do that, that means they have to own that. And at that rarefied level, if I own it, and something bad happens, does that derail my brand on my way to my next star? And if that's the case, then I don't want that. I can't have that. You know, just stay in my lane and let the PhDs do this. They're the subject matter experts, and I can say all the right things. You know, in the meantime, the number continues to go up. So I think it's sad. But the very people who you're going to see go on and talk about it are the people that, in my opinion, don't get it. So anyway, more of this program coming up. We'll check news headlines next on a Tuesday. And then you're going to hear an interview with General Berger done 5 days ago. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Tuesday next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Here's another email. Hey, Mac. Does the president's tax thing bother you as a conservative? Yeah, I mean, fuck yeah, it does. So does a bunch of other shit the guy does. But am I going to vote for Joe Biden? No, hell no. Right? And I think liberals are in the same conundrum. Do you think the liberal people are happy when they see the shit that Hunter Biden has done with obviously his father's approval? Because that greasy shit that kid's making millions off, and all he's doing is trading on his, it's not like Hunter Biden brings something to the table, right? So what does Hunter Biden bring to the table? He brings his dad and his dad's connections and all the connections of the Biden family. That's what he's selling. And he's selling it with his father's approval. So, do you think liberals are happy about that when they start hearing, like, the money, that the millions of dollars that guy got? I mean, the answer to that is no. You know? But let me ask you this. Do you think if they start drilling into Dianne Feinstein's taxes, into Nancy Pelosi's taxes and financial dealings, right? I mean, her husband was just in the news, Nancy Pelosi's, because somehow or other, that dude's on the Board of Regents or some shit of the University of California system. Nancy Pelosi's husband. Like, what the fuck? And it was found that he made phone calls to get people in over other more qualified people. Oh, shit. Right? So the Clinton Foundation, somehow, for some reason, the donations to the Clinton Foundation have plummeted. Why? I thought the donations were all predicated on the great work the Clinton Foundation was doing around the world. Oh, you mean they're not as influential? They mean they're not in power? So I don't want to say it was pay for play, but it was pay for play, pay to play. So, yeah, it's shitty. But I've said this before. I don't need – I mean, Barack Obama to me seems like one of the best human beings we've had as president, right? Seemed like a nice man. I mean, I would like to – I mean, to me, I would like to meet him, you know. He could have come over and watched the Stanley Cup Finals last night. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning who won. The first sport to crown a winner, a league champion during this oddest of times. And so, I mean, Barack Obama seems like just a wonderful human being to me. But he was a horrible president. Okay? George Bush was way worse than Barack Obama. And the world is still enduring what George Bush and his idiots, you know, turned loose on it. So I'm over. I know some people are like, you know, when Donald Trump's name gets mentioned. And then I know others that Joe Biden, they do the same thing. I'm over that. I need somebody that can unleash the American economy, stand up to China, and fight for the middle class that has been sold out of this country. That's what I think that the nation needs. Oh, and somebody else who still understands up and down socially. Yeah, up's towards the ceiling, down's towards the floor. Always has been, always will be. Just because somebody is telling you something, you're a racist because you haven't got in the streets and fought against it. Oh, really? What else am I because I haven't gone in the streets and fought against it, or I haven't done something to prevent it? Am I a domestic abuser because I haven't done something to prevent it? What else am I? A child abuser because I haven't done? Yes. All right. Go fuck yourself with that stuff. Okay? Somebody who still knows, understands up from down. Understands the seriousness of systemic racism. And it is something beyond anecdotal events that you have when you bump into somebody that's an idiot. And that their stupidity manifests itself in racist comments and other stupid shit that stupid people do. Systemic racism is something different. It's what Apple does. It's what Google does. It's what Amazon does. All those companies who then turn around and lecture us. Yeah. Even Nike. Do you demographically look like the nation? The nation that you lecture constantly? No. We do not. Oh, okay. Got it. So, yeah, do his taxes bother me? Yeah, they bother me. John Kennedy's philandering bothers me, too. John Kennedy being on a lot of drugs when he was the president to manage his pain. That I find a little bit unnerving as well. So there's a lot of things that bother me. But I'm over that we need a choir boy in the White House. We need an effective president. And maybe they're not always the same thing. In the ideal world, they could be. But you look at Barack Obama, seems like a wonderful guy. And he got rolled over by everybody. United States is just another country. We just have to take our place in the world order. We'll pay for everybody's defense. It's not an issue. Blah, blah, fucking blah. Well, that's not, that ain't right. That's not the way it should be. China, I mean, think about this. Taiwan hates Barack Obama. Why? Because he ignored them. He ceded Taiwan to China. They loathe him. China's emergence and America's, you know, place next to China or some shit like that? Give me a break. China has got to be taught by the free nations of the world that if you want to be considered something important, then you got to play by these rules. If you won't play by these rules, then we won't play with you. And slowly but surely, I think the world will come to this as they continue to experience, you know, what it is to deal with a totalitarian government. So anyway, let me check some news headlines. But yeah, I mean, of course, come on. Of course that bothers me. Again, if it's true, unverified, and it's not like we haven't seen the media lie. I mean, for God's sakes, it's what they do for a living. Right? I mean, the fabrications and, I mean, I'll tell you what. It's pretty amazing what's coming out of the investigation into the FBI. I mean, man, it's gross. Your United States Navy is the top story in Stars and Stripes today. A small fire quickly extinguished injured 13 aboard a Japan-based United States Navy cruiser. The USS Antietam, that interestingly enough ran aground in Tokyo Bay a few years ago, sails with the USS Germantown and the USNS Sakakawea during the Valiant Shield exercise off the coast of Guam. 13 sailors received minor injuries in a small fire aboard the USS Antietam on Thursday. The sailors were hurt while responding to a blaze in an engineering space. They returned to duty after being treated by the guided missile cruiser's medical team. Quote, crew members quickly extinguished the fire with no damage to engineering equipment, and the Antietam remains fully operational. Investigators are working to discover the fire's cause. Arson, maybe? Mac, why would you say such a thing? Oh, because that's what started the fire aboard the Bonhomme Richard. And this little tidbit. Crew members quickly extinguished the fire with no damage to engineering equipment. Well, if it was a fire that started because of some kind of machinery, there'd be no damage to the machinery if the fire started there? Or maybe if it was a fire started in a waste paper basket or something like that and somebody walked away to start the ship on fire because they're disgruntled and they want to go back home, maybe that's a different case. Stand by for that one, sports fans. I don't want to say... That's not going to end well. But as I put the tarot cards together this morning, stand by. Let's see. Other stories. Marine who fled Camp Lejeune and three others charged with armed robbery at a church. Are you shitting me? Lance Corporal Sean Miller, a field artillery cannoneer with 2nd Battalion, 10th Marine Regiment, fled Thursdays as authorities took the other three suspects into custody. The 2nd Marine Division reported that Miller was at large in a statement last Friday. He was taken into custody a couple hours later in Richlands, about 20 miles northwest of Camp Lejeune, booked into the county jail on armed robbery charges. In the parking lot of a church? Miller, 21, was initially thought to be a victim of an armed robbery on August 10th, in which cash and a cell phone were taken from three people in the parking lot at All Saints Catholic Church in Surf City, about 15 miles from the base. But investigators later found that Miller had conspired with the three other suspects. All four were on active duty at the time. I mean, stupid. So that in the news. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the USS Herschel Woody Williams will be based out of Suda Bay Naval Base. How about that? Kind of interesting, eh? U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo expressed support Tuesday for talks between Greece and Turkey, NATO allies whose relations deteriorated to the point where both had warships facing off in the Mediterranean Sea. Pompeo and Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis, I'm telling you, man, that's not an easy one, also announced Tuesday that the expeditionary sea-based USS Herschel Woody Williams, who's been on All Marine Radio, who's a recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor for his heroism on the island of Iwo Jima, the second of a new class of sea-basing ships will be based out of Suda Bay on the Greek island of Crete. Wow. Quote, it's literally the perfect choice in light of the facility's strategic location, and it's symbolic of a defense partnership that will continue to expand and grow. It's also a bit of a message to Turkey. So, interesting little move there. Secretary of State, West Point guy. And the silver lining to the COVID thing is it has breathed new life into both officer and enlisted clubs on base. How about that? One other story. I mentioned this earlier, but Kuwait's ruler, Sheikh Sabah, has died at the age of 91. In a Middle East replete with elderly rulers, Sheikh Sabah stood out for his efforts at pushing diplomacy to resolve bitter disputes between Qatar and other Arab nations that continue to this day. His 2006 ascension in Kuwait, a staunch U.S. ally since the U.S.-led war that expelled occupying Iraqi troops, came after the parliament voted unanimously to oust his predecessor, the ailing Sheikh Saad al-Abdullah al-Sabah, just 9 days into his rule. Yet as Kuwait's ruler, he struggled with internal political disputes, the fallout of the 2011 Arab Spring protests, and seesawing crude oil prices that chewed into a national budget that provides cradle-to-grave subsidies. So, interesting. Kuwait, you know, let me tell you, Kuwait is hot. I mean, Iraq was hot. Kuwait was even hotter. So a few headlines from the Wall Street Journal this morning. I already mentioned one, J.P. Morgan to pay almost $1 billion to resolve probes about market manipulation. So the largest fines ever paid. Retail bankruptcies and store closures hit records in the first half of the year. Kind of interesting, the transformation of retail as it continues. What are we going to have now? Small storefronts and, you know, big digital companies, Amazon, right? So your presence digitally is your primary presence. I'm not sure that I like that. I like as I build my studio, I like going and looking and putting my hands on stuff. So the So, and the COVID thing accelerated all that. In the first 6 months, 18 retailers filed for Chapter 11 protection, mostly concentrated in the apparel and footwear, home furnishing, grocery, and department stores, according to the report. They include operators Neiman Marcus, JCPenney's, Stage Stores. I don't know who they are. Stage, who is that? Pier 1 Imports, Tuesday Morning, Vitamin Cellar, GNC Holdings. From July through mid-August, 11 more retailers filed, including Lucky Brand Dungarees, Brooks Brothers, Ann Taylor, Ascena Retail Group, Stein Mart Incorporated, Men's Warehouse, Joseph A. Banks. How about that? Pretty amazing. High rates of brick-and-mortar store closures are expected to continue. From January through mid-August, retailers had announced they would close a total of more than 10,000 stores in the United States, including locations of solvent companies such as Macy's, Bed Bath & Beyond, and The Gap. That has already topped last year's record, 9,500 store closures. Many of the closings through mid-August of 2020 were due to retail bankruptcies. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see where retail in the United States goes, because it is going to be remade. In what image? Amazon's talking about now. Look at Amazon as a logistics organization. Okay. Huge warehouses all over the country that can get it to you tomorrow. If not today, in some cases, if you live in a major market. But certainly by tomorrow or the next day. And they can do it that at a cheap price. So think about them as a logistics organization. They've now, floated the idea that they will have, quote unquote, fulfillment centers. I'm not exactly sure what that is, around dotting the country. More of those. Now, does that represent stepping into the big box retailer thing, which will ultimately maybe be their demise? So as they move into, brick and mortar stores, they put, a weight around their neck that others have not been able to sustain. And then as others get more digital and get more online, do they become more nimble like Amazon has always been? Interesting. New U.S. virus cases edge down as the global death toll passes 1 million. Now, U.S. reports just over 33,000 new cases. So numbers falling in the United States, and they continue to fall. But here's kind of the ebb and flow of the United States. So everybody stays at home, right? Now we begin to come out and cases go up. And then they come down as people kind of adjust to it. Now kids go back to school, cases go up. And then we figure that out. And those numbers come back down. So there's this consistent cycle of how this happens. And then you have people like Tim Lynch saying that, hey, when people get to understand what the IFR is and they see that this is much to do about nothing. But New York City is threatening to go backwards. I'll tell you what, there was a really interesting story over the weekend. Let me see if I can find it. New York City school principals. They New York City Principals Union votes no confidence in the mayor of the city. How about that? New York City School Principals Union, and normally there's a weld between there is a weld between the Democratic Party in a city and the teachers union and the principals and the whole educational establishment. And it goes on all over this country. And it's a powerful voting block because, you know, teachers vote, they have spouses, blah, 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 blah. So when I saw this over the weekend, I was like, wow. New York City's School Principals Union. So it's a union of school principals. Like, why do school union principals need their own union? Anyway, demanded Sunday that Mayor Bill de Blasio and Chancellor Richard Carranza abdicate control of the system to the state, a brutal rebuke over their handling of the COVID-19 crisis. The stunning move is just the latest sign of upheaval for the city's embattled public schools amid the coronavirus and comes only 2 days before the scheduled start of in-classroom learning for K-8 students. The Council of School Supervisors and Administrators said it was taking the unprecedented step of seeking state intervention, partly because there are more than 200 elementary school principals who still need a total of 1,200 teachers before K-8 on-site instruction begins on Tuesday. And instead of trying to deal with the staffing crisis, district higher-ups have only pushed principals to lie and help them cover up the issue, the union claimed. District superintendents have verbally pressured principals to falsely report that their staffing needs are already met after they requested additional staff due to safety concerns. I mean, this is more of the same shit, right? No, we're not gonna say that. No, it's, you know, I don't know. It's, the world is crazy, I think. Here's something from an Amazon specialist. Fulfillment centers are giant warehouses full of shit where Amazon fulfills your order. They have your stuff, package it, and then send it out to a distribution node in your local area. I worked in one giant fulfillment center. It was super fun. Also, I dropped a 90-pound dumbbell on my foot at the gym this morning. Goon move. Congrats to Colleen. Awesome. Well, you know what I told Colleen? I told Colleen, relative to her job interview, who gives a shit if you get this job? What you need to learn how to do is you need to learn how to interview. You need to go in there and be you and not be afraid, like, and not go in there, like, begging for a job. Fuck that. You go in there and you be you and you say, yeah, your attitude should be, you want me. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall, except it's kind of the retail sales floor, right? That should be your attitude, right? Confidence, born of achievement, Colleen, right? Not like, oh, please hire me. Yeah, what's up? So anyway, hey, and again, confidence, I think it's as a parent, you have to teach confidence, right? I mean, some kids have more than others naturally, but when your kids achieve academically, and I don't mean telling them, oh, you're so smart. I don't mean that. I mean, you have to have conversations in which, you know, you tell them, go in and let it rip on their ass, man. Right? And I hate this phrase, you got this, right? Because most of the people that say it, after they say you got this, they look and go, nyeh. People that say, I got it. They're not like, I'm going to crush this shit. And they do. And they do. So confidence is something that I think you kind of need to stoke in young people. Sailors will get experience with Marine MV-22s before operating the first Navy Ospreys. How exciting is that? I thought the Navy was already operating their own version of the Osprey. No? An overseas deployment with Marines is giving some of the Navy's first crews that will operate its new cargo delivery fleet of CMV-22 Bravos. C for cargo, I think. Osprey aircraft, hands-on experience with tilt rotor technology and operations. Yeah. So, all you nasty Navy people, like, you're going to go deploy and get on a ship with Marines, you better clean your shit up. It's not like Navy time. Next story by Megan Eckstein. We're fans of Megan. TCOM, modernizing training and education will be the focus of Marines in fiscal year 2022. Now, there was a story that says the Marine Corps is looking at closing both Parris Island and MCRD San Diego. If the Commandant of the Marine Corps has focused his attention in his first year on the job tackling a force design 2030 effort to reshape how the Marine Corps gears up for the modern battlefield, the next year will focus on the training and manning issues that follow, ensuring the entire man, train, and equip portfolio are brought up to date, the head of Marine Corps training said. Lou Caparata, friend of mine, quote, he told us that he's going to put a lot of effort this year into training and education and into manpower. Lieutenant General Louis Caparata said during a virtual modern day Marine presentation. He is the head of Marine Corps Training and Education Command. Lou. And he stated publicly that we have to change our training and education system if we want to redesign the Marine Corps for the future. His commitment to training and education means that we're going to get resources to meet the needs to revise training and education. Among that resourcing, he said, would be at least $160 million to invest in live, virtual, and constructive training systems, as well as range modernizations to allow for more sophisticated force-on-force training and instruction to collect data during these training events. That would start in fiscal year 2022 and continue throughout the five-year future years defense program. Caparata took over TCOM in August, marking the beginning of TCOM being a three-star headquarters command. That's like, yeah, in the land of the general, that's like big shit, right? He had been out at PACOM, right? Pacific Command. MAR-4 PAC, as it's known. His predecessor, Major General Bill Mullen, who's a big fan of post-traumatic winning, introduced it a number of times. Yeah. So anyway, let me see if he says anything about... Does not say anything about the relocation of Parris Island and MCRD. So, yeah, that causing hysteria in the streets. What? No more sand, please. Are you shitting me? Oh, what? No more jets taking off? Those are, I think, on the historic register. So what's going to happen? They'll be turned into museums? Eligible Marines receive a medal for COVID-19-related duties. Love that shit, man. Love that shit. Ribbons and badges for everyone. The more often you can say that, the happier everybody is. Here's the tectonic plate shaking article. Marine Corps considers closing South Carolina San Diego recruit training depots to open a new location. So you've heard the parts that say, Marine Corps has got to be able to train female recruits at both sites. That's causing construction issues. Who's this Butterfield dude? Oh, Joe Butterfield. He's a spokesman, so we don't care about what he said. While boot camp on West Coast faces fewer issues from flooding, the base must take into consideration its vulnerability to California wildfires. Come on. Listen, what a bunch of shit. Okay, I'm done reading that. Climate change just got thrown in my face. I'm not doing that. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, carrier-launched airstrikes hit ISIS targets in Iraq as the USS Nimitz patrols the Persian Gulf. That'll impact something, right? We've been playing whack-a-mole with them for how many years now? 2 decades? Are we any closer? We've whacked a lot of moles over there. Stop telling us this bullshit. We don't care. It's Vietnam's body count. We whacked somebody in Somalia today. Another blow for freedom. Next man up. Yeah, the bad guys, they do next man up like nobody. Yeah, they're the next man up franchise owner. Breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have the NFL's first COVID-19 outbreak. The NFL says 3 players and 5 other personnel tested positive for the virus. That's right. Can't just go to work and go home. Got to go to those parties, huh, sports fans? So getting through a season is a lot easier than actually doing it. And you see college football players, right? They're having problems. NFL's having problems. So it's pretty amazing. NHL got through their season. And Major League Baseball's had relatively few problems after they started. So the NFL, in the first few weeks of its season, we'd expect something similar until people get used to the routine. And then the question is, can they do it? Story number 2 in Early Bird. Trump administration orders assessment on bolstering nuclear warheads as talks with Russia stall. See, again, Russia can't play this game. Because when you start having to upgrade your nuclear weapons, that costs a lot of money. And the United States can do it. Russia cannot. Number 3, it's kind of like us putting the Woody Williams in Greece. That's a not so subtle message to Turkey. You want to fucking play this game? We can play this game. Number 3, problems plagued Bradley crews before a mishap killed 3 soldiers. With their lights off, Bradley fighting vehicles lumbered through the darkness at Fort Stewart in the wee hours of the morning. But mist and humidity degraded some of the vehicle optics soldiers were using to find their way. Now, let me tell you, the Bradley, this is like saying that the LAV isn't safe. The LAV, I first got in the son of a bitch in 1985. So how could it not be safe? How could these problems not, be dealt with? A low blanket of clouds blocked out much of the moonlight that could have illuminated their night vision devices. And the poor weather, remnants of a tropical storm, prevented temperature changes throughout the day that would have helped contour objects in their thermal devices after dark. This is pointing towards human error, in my opinion. Not long after the decision was made to turn off lights and drive using optics, a Bradley crew flipped off a bridge that they didn't even know they were crossing, according to an investigation into a fatal mishap obtained by Army Times. The Army official said, No single factor caused the accident, but witness interviewed highlighted common problems that came to a head after the company commander to go blackout on a roadway intended to be driven on with white lights. The problems included vehicle optics that failed in the murky weather, a bridge that couldn't be seen by all soldiers, drivers who were tired from their multi-day exercise. This is like normal shit, right? And so what it means is the leader has to say, okay, we can't go any further. We're going to dismount somebody and we're going to follow them. It's called a ground guy. I have experience with a tank flipping off a bridge in Iraq. It's a shitty experience. Four Marines drowned in a tank upside down in a canal. They attempted to drive across a bridge at night without a ground guy. The Marine driving the tank, nervous, overcorrected, the thing flipped off, over, it went turret down into a canal. There is nothing anybody could do. Marines dive in the water, and the story gets even worse from there. They did not die of drowning. They committed suicide in the tank. Yeah, totally fucked up. Totally fucked up. And even, I'll tell the rest of the story. It makes it even more fucked up than that. The colonel, who I won't name, writes letters to every member of that tank crew's family. He gets one letter back from a parent of the senior person in the fucking tank, kind of giving the colonel a backhand. And he showed me the letter. I said, write him back and tell him it was your fucking kid that didn't stop the tank and have somebody ground guide the motherfucker. The other three were just doing their jobs and paid for your son's stupidity. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I'm probably not going to write that. I mean, same thing. Like, we're going 22 knots across a major shipping lane at night, our first time out at sea under a new commander, right? No XO on the bridge, no CO on the bridge, no communication with CIC, and degraded radars, evidently. And everybody's fucking good with that. And it's everybody else's fault, but the leader's in charge. And we're going to fight the Chinese. That United States Navy that can't put out a fucking fire in San Diego going to take on the Chinese Navy. Yeah. Okay. Buy gold. Buy gold. Let's see. Yeah, this problems plagued Bradley Cruz before the miss. No, that's a leadership problem. If you can't see, you don't go. You don't keep fucking driving, feeling your way through the night and hope nothing bad happens. I mean, it's stupid. An 8th U.S. service member has been killed by the coronavirus, according to the Pentagon. More information on the death was not immediately available, and a Pentagon spokesman did not immediately reply to a request for a comment. The death revealed Monday is the first COVID-19 death since late August when Army reservist. So it doesn't say, right, what if this person was active duty or a reservist, right? To date, one member of the active duty force, a chief on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, has died. Everybody else has been a reservist, which means they're kind of a civilian, subject to civilian lifestyle. Number five, cyber attack could trigger Article 5 response, NATO Deputy Secretary warns. Whoa. Whoa. So we've talked about this on the program before. Holy shit, man, it's 9:30. Sorry for being chatty Cathy, but that's the way it is. What is Article 5? And so I can be at war with you electronically. I can steal all, like supposedly China stole $1 trillion worth of technology from the United States. from the year 2000 to the year 2010. Okay. So you could be at war with us electronically, and then we're just all going to stand up like, say, what? We didn't shoot at anybody. Nothing bad. And you could be marauding through our electrical system. You could be marauding through our voting system. At what point is an electronic attack an attack by one sovereign nation on another sovereign nation? That's a question. Bueller, anybody? Here's the story. NATO is adapting to security threats in cyberspace despite vulnerabilities exploited in the COVID-19 pandemic. Deputy Secretary Mircea Giona said. He noted that NATO will establish a cyberspace operations center as a part of its command structure. About time. Adding that a military cyber attack on a country qualifies as a cause for all NATO nations to come to its aid. And that is Chapter 5. Quote, we agreed that a cyber attack could trigger Article 5 of our founding treaty, where an attack against one ally is treated as an attack against all. He said this at a virtual conference of cybersecurity, an annual public policy conference sponsored by the Kościuszko Institute of Krakow, Poland. Interesting. It's a 3-day conference. So, where would one of these cyber attacks come from? Let me guess. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea? What do they have in common? They're shitbag totalitarian government. And shitbag is a technical term. It's not an emotional term, just so everybody knows. It's not just a bit of profanity. It's a technical term. Those leaders are bags of shit. Okay? Just for the record. All right. A couple of overseas operation stories. The U.S. warned Iraq that if attacks continue on the embassy and on embassy personnel, the United States may close the embassy. So, this is a story I find weird. Okay. And here's the headline. Trump Pentagon collide over anti-diversity training push. Now, I would tell you, this whole narrative that you're a racist because you don't go in the streets and fight racism. I mean, you know, connect the dots on that. Well, tell me what else am I because I don't go protest for something. You know? And all this narrative of your biases, right? So is that's the DOD's job to educate you on some, in my opinion, extremist view of the world that has somehow or other taken hold in this crazy summer of COVID, of Mr. Floyd, of Breonna Taylor, of all this. And now because we're all guilty, right? We'll all get this shoved down our throats. This crazy shit. President Trump's effort to appeal to his conservative base by banning certain diversity training is butting up against the Pentagon's efforts to build a more inclusive military. The conflict has been prominent this week as Trump signed an executive order that extended his administration's ban on training involving race and sex-based discrimination to include military, federal contractors, and grant recipients. Days later, top Pentagon officials were extolling the virtue of diversity to service members at a virtual town hall and touting the department's effort to fight racial bias. It's unclear exactly what effect Trump's order will have on the military's plan to address racism and discrimination in the ranks. But the messaging coming from the White House and the Pentagon stands in stark contrast to one another. Quote, the President of the United States is sending the message that training around racial equity and gender equity is something that he devalues, said Shannon Minter, legal director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Trump and Pentagon officials have been at odds for months about how to respond to a nationwide protest on racial injustices. And let me tell you what you see. What you see is elected officials tripping over themselves, right? And now what? The 1619 Project that the New York Times, you know, fawns over, that historians have ridiculed? Now that's going to be sold as fact? I mean, it's crazy. It's this world of Twitter and Facebook, you know, the world according to GARP. It's this fictitious place, and you want that to be real. And then there's this collision, and we saw the collision last week when the Attorney General of Kentucky stood up and said, these are the facts in this case. And because you wish it to be a different way doesn't make it a different way. This is what happened. And that guy's got nothing but shit on since then. How dare you let reality drive something? In the meantime, Ilhan Omar, right? She's harvesting ballots in Minneapolis to retain her political spot that she cheated to get in the first place. But that's how we do it these days. And God forbid you should tell the truth, right? God forbid you should hold up the hypocrisy of, oh, it's okay for Biden to be Catholic, but it's not okay for a prospective justice on the Supreme Court for her to be Catholic. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. I did not intend to wax that eloquent on the news, but for whatever reason, I have it in me today. All right, coming up next, you're going to hear an interview that was just done 5 days ago with the Commandant of the Marine Corps. So stand by for that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.